Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is August 26th. We're here with Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hi.
And from one of, if not the first time, all in one place.
Yeah,
on the West Coast studio.
We're all in the West Coast studio this week.
How's that feel for you?
Weird. But, we'll make do.
How many times did we try to get this done?
We've tried a few. We may have succeeded once prior, but that's still up for debate.
I've slept since then. I don't know.
I've drank since then. Sorry.
PG. Guilty on all occasions.
That's right. So what's going on? We missed you last week.
Still on the home buying saga. So last week we were house shopping in Atlanta. Found a couple of options. Tried to buy one. Now not so sure. We got the inspection report back from it. Little more to repair than we were hoping for. So we're still trying to debate what to do on that. Maybe going to our backup choice. The rest of our weekend, we actually went geocaching this weekend. I don't know if you've ever tried that.
I have not tried it. Yeah. I'm mildly familiar with it.
What is it? Because I'm not familiar with it, and I think our viewers would like to know.
Sure.
Listeners.
So, the best way I've ever heard it described, and my wife found this, I think it might have been on Reddit, but don't quote me on that, is geocaching is where you use multi-million dollar satellites to find Tupperware lost in the woods.
Yes. So essentially what happens is...
It's a glorified scavenger hunt.
Yep.
Wow.
People post up clues or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you use GPS more or less to go try to find what's been left behind.
And they vary in size. Some of the bigger caches are, like I said, probably about Tupperware size. And they go down from there pretty much. They go into medium, small, mini, micro, nano.
So this is like a treasure hunt? Is it like you put something in like a Tupperware and then like...
And hide it.
Sometimes it's just a piece of paper just for you to write your name there that you've been there.
Yeah, they all have logs in them to record that you found it. Some of them, we found some last weekend. I don't know how many of our listeners now in the digital age will even know what I'm talking about, but 35mm foam canisters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wrapped in camouflage duct tape and stuck in a tree.
And then just inside of that was the log.
Yep. There were no prizes or anything. Yep. It was just, hey, I found it. It's about the journey.
Yeah,
really.
It's like Kilroy was here.
The challenge. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger ones have prizes in them, and it's all on a take-one-leave-one basis. So you bring something with you, and you leave it in there, and you take something out of it. And it's a fun trek through the woods. We found some stuff back in woods, and there are even, for the those allergic to nature, there are urban geocaches. We found one that was... magnetized and stuck to the back of a highway guard railing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Really creative stuff. So that, we had soccer Saturday, and then we've been on a kick for a new TV show we've been binge-watching on Netflix, Once Upon a Time.
We've watched that regularly and love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic
show.
No
spoilers, please. We're in season two right now.
Yeah, it's great. They bring in people from all different walks of the... "quote unquote fairy tale life."
Yeah, it's been amazing to see.
So, slight spoiler is that the season that just finished
four,
I think it's four, had Elsa and Anna from Frozen.
No,
yes,
no, okay. I didn't hear that.
And the new season is going to have Mirda from Brave.
Nice.
But yeah, they bring in Robin Hood. They bring in Cruella De Vil. They bring in all these different characters, and they really kind of explore what would happen. Really, the gist of the whole show is what happened if fairy tale characters
were
brought into this world.
Did you catch the cameo in the first episode? Or not cameo, but call for the first episode.
No.
When the sheriff, I don't remember his name, the particular time, when they first came in, and there was a guy in the cell.
No. You're thinking Eureka. We're talking Once Upon a Time.
No, hold on. Let me get to the thing.
Because that's the same opening.
Yes.
So far.
And the guy and the sheriff tells the guy in the cell to smile, and the guy smiles and instantly goes back to frowning.
Okay.
Grumpy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the dwarves are in there, all that stuff. Sorry, I thought you were talking about in Eureka, where when he's driving into the town, there's a car leaving.
No, I was like, the in the jail cell. Episode. Oh, no, that was when the car was leaving. There's a car leaving the jail cell? What?
I didn't hear it. It's called the jail cell. Yeah.
It's called quantum physics. And Eureka is actually pretty much. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're really enjoying it and liking the twists on some of the characters.
Yes.
And the way that they're overlaying some of the stories.
Yeah, they do a really good job with that in the show, and they really add a lot of complexity. I'm a big fan of Jennifer Morrison, who plays Emma from House, and she's essentially the main on that. But yeah, fantastic show. I recommend it. I even have one of the guys in the pool team I was on, or am still slightly partaking. I mentioned it to him, and he and his wife have gotten into it, and it's an easy show to do. So I definitely recommend it.
Yes, and it's addictive.
Yes.
Be warned.
Yeah.
Set aside some time, because if you get to binge watch it, you will.
Yeah, we've got addicted to The Killing, also on Netflix. It used to be an A&E show. I think for the first two or three seasons, it got dropped, and then Netflix picked it up for the either third and fourth season, or at least the fourth season. And that's a fantastic show, and it kind of dives into the whole homicide detective going down a path and based on the information they have and then finding out that they follow that path so aggressively that they miss maybe clues that are taking them to, or they uncover that next piece that actually takes them in a different direction. It's pretty well done. We're almost finished with that. I think we might be into the fourth season right now. That's really good.
Cool.
Yay.
How was your weekend?
Mine was full of ups and downs. For our listeners who have kept track.
That was a drone joke.
Yes, it was. So I've got the flight controller and everything came in for the drone on Friday, in which I had a very hard time not leaving work to go get it, knowing that I couldn't do anything had I had it in my hand anyway, until I had time to mess with it.
Yeah, but just having it in your hand.
Just having it in my hand.
With all the...
So as I've mentioned before, I am obsessive impulsive. And must have now in my hands. Being on the doorstep is not good enough. I must tangibly have possession. So, that came in. I spent Friday evening installing and Saturday trying to troubleshoot because it didn't take off according to plan. And then Sunday morning, I've got it somewhat controllable. And...
Somewhat.
There's a lot of really fine-tuning that really need to be spent a lot more time on. And sadly, a lot of the documentation with most of these components come with a degree of assumption to the end user.
So, at this point, I'd like to point out for our listeners that this is not a pre-made drone.
Yes.
Nor is it a kit that you just have to put together. Correct. You piece this together out of various components of your own choosing.
Various components, usually resulting in lack of knowledge or naivety. Obviously. Yes. No, I fell in love with a certain type of frame. I could have bought that whole unit ready to fly, but that was a big price chunk at the time. And so in order to kind of lessen the burden, I pieced it all together.
And satisfy the impulsiveness.
For yes. those wondering, it's a Frankenstein job.
It's a Frankenstein job. But so I got it flying Sunday, and then we went to a free concert in the park again this week, the last one of the summer. I brought it with me because there's a big open space and I thought I could, do some practicing, and found out one of the components had gone bad, sometime between midday on Sunday and towards the end of the day. So it was grounded until Monday evening. Got it together, flew it a little bit, adjusted some settings. And pretty much foobarred the whole thing. So
do we now christen her Frankendroid?
Frankendroid? I don't think Frankendroid is appropriate for her
yet. Frankendrone.
I haven't come up with a name. She does need a name, and we'll figure that out as time goes. But we're going to do some testing tonight, hopefully, or at least later this week, and see if we can get it a little bit more under control.
Airborne? just airborne would be good at this point.
Because right now she's in a crate and looking mighty pitiful. But yeah, that was my weekend. That was pretty much my sole focus.
Weird.
Well, I actually, surprisingly, actually have a couple, two stories to tell.
Woohoo!
I know, shocking for no one. So I just stayed home and did Jack. But no. On the way home, hi. Yeah, by the way, he's just like staring right at me, guys. It's really creepy.
White's having a problem because he's not used to Brad being in the local studio.
I just don't like eyes, for God's sake. And Garrett knows this.
He's getting some...
Anywho, on the way to work, I stopped by the gas station, and during fill-up, heard a noise. Well, the guy on the other side of the gas pump decided to drive away with the hose still in the car.
Oh, no!
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not a good day.
Well, let's just say I learned something new, and those things have a release
yes.
coupling.
They're designed to break away.
At
so that the whole gas station doesn't blow up.
So the gas station attendant comes out, and you know, starts talking to the guy, and you know, how to, you know, to pay to fix it, yada, yada, yada. And of course, as I'm walking to go get a drink inside the gas station, because there's two attendants, I see a black object in front of the car. And so I walk over, and as I'm getting closer to it, I see what it is. It's his gas cap.
Nice.
I come up to him, I was like, I know this is probably more insult to injury, but here.
Now, this is yours.
He's like, and the guy's face is like, I'm an idiot. But yeah, that was one. Then I actually think it was yesterday. The airport was doing some advertising for, obviously more people to come in. And they did the unit that I work in.
Nice.
So yes, I'm now in advertising. In so that, yes, I did actually have to sign that. Was it this disclosure or
release?
Yeah, the release.
Yeah, release. Yep. So Wade's an official commercial actor.
For nice. Airport. Yeah. This is, well, it was basically to show, like, this is our airport.
This is why you shouldn't come here. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. They saw me and it's like, nope, we're done.
No.
Do you want to take off before 7 o'clock and land after 10? Then go to LAX.
Don't work at LAX, but all
don't right. Come to Santa Ana Airport. Thank you. Goodbye.
Speaking of, I was...
Yeah.
I completely slipped my mind. Didn't even think about it. I should have
come
down
to... Mate.
Yeah, I know, right? Should have come and said hello. Friday.
Hey.
You working Friday?
For those of you who caught the mate in there, you will remind our fans that Brad is a transplant from Down Under.
That was not anything racist. I'm sorry. That was just more of like force of habit.
What are you talking
say that
about?
Regularly?
Yeah, actually, because I watch a lot of British YouTubers.
What?
I didn't.
What'd
say
you say?
Me?
He said mate.
I was pretty sure you said mate.
No, that was me.
Mate. He said mate.
Okay, Wade said mate because he wants to be British, and I thought it was Brad because he used to be Australian.
That's why I had to clarify because I'm the one who said it.
Yeah.
Good job, Garrett.
You're welcome.
Pay attention, man.
Hey, I was taking care of our followers on Twitter, so
I don't think I want to know what the heck you were taking care of your Twitter.
I'm multitasking to our many, many Twitter followers. Thank you, by the way,
yes,
Twitter
so
followers.
Good shout out here at the beginning rather than at the end.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I like that.
There
so
you go.
Check us out on Twitter at AbundanceNot.
That's right. And because Brad wasn't here for the last podcast, I dropped a bombshell at the end of last podcast and told our listeners, our followers, that if we get up to 500, or when we get up to 500 Twitter followers, we will be doing a raffle giveaway. So when we hit 500, we will, Brad shaking his head in fear, we will release more details. So do share us with your friends and keep in touch. Moving on. So you did your acting. You're now, are you going to be on IMDb now? Are you going
to
be
a,
come
did
up
you have
under?
To get a Screen Actors Guild card? Or
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
inducting
just.
You
are you going to the Grammys?
Set? It's just, it's, that's framed. And,
nice,
it's got it blown up. He's
yeah.
Got...
I think I have a seat at the Academy Awards next to Jennifer Lawrence.
I hate you.
All and right. The Academy Award for Best New Actor in Advertising goes to...
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, speaking of entertainment, let's just jump into some movies.
Movies.
Looks like we only got a couple to talk about this week. First one being No Escape at 40%. This is with Owen Wilson and Pierce Brosnan, along with Lake Bell, who she looks familiar, but I'm not sure where I know her from. This is rated R, so leave the little kitties at home. An intense international thriller, No Escape centers on an American businessman, played by Owen Wilson, as he and his family settle into their new home in Southeast Asia. Suddenly finding themselves in the middle of a violent political uprising, they must frantically look for a safe escape as rebels mercilessly attack the city. This is directed by John Eric Dowdle and written by his brother Drew. So there you go. I've seen trailers for this, very hit or miss, but they're occupying, you know, living in the city they're in, and just war erupts, and they're trying desperately to get to the embassy.
Yeah, this is the trailer where Owen Wilson throws his the actor who plays his daughter in the movie from one rooftop to the other.
Yeah.
So that's the one if you were confused.
This looks pretty intense, and, you know, Owen Wilson hasn't really played an action movie in a while. I think one of the last ones, wasn't he in Behind Enemy Lines, I think, some years ago. But typically he's been doing the comedic stuff lately, so
he
maybe
was
good
awesome
to see him.
Night at the museum.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he was. It took me a second to be like, No, that was Ben Stiller. Wait, no, he was in there too.
Yeah, he was in there too.
So, moving away from the comedic stuff on this one, so good for him. Next is We Are Your Friends at 48%.
No, you're not.
Also rated R, no, we're not. This is with Zac Efron and, how do you pronounce that name? Emily Ratajkowski. Sure. And Wes Bentley. I can pronounce that one.
Apologies for mutilating
that
name.
Well, have an easier name to say. You're in show business now. Change it. Thanks. Bye. Set in the world of electric music and Hollywood nightlife, an aspiring 23-year-old DJ named Cole spends his days scheming with his childhood friends and his nights working on the one track that will set the world on fire. All of this changes. Wow, that's written well, isn't it?
It's correct.
All of this changes. There we go. If I knew the whole sentence, I'd be fine.
You just don't know how to read.
All of this changes. That's also true. When he meets a charismatic but damaged older DJ named James, who takes him under his wing. Things get complicated, however, when Cole starts falling for James' younger girlfriend, Sophie, with Cole's forbidden relationship intensifying and his friendship unraveling, he must choose between love, loyalty, and the future he is destined for. Sure.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's about all I have to say for that. Lastly, coming out is War Room. This has no critic rating yet, which, you know, is always looking forward 2 days before it's released. It is rated PG. It looks like it may be kind of a low-budget or foreign movie because I don't know anybody in it. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan.
Measure.
Oh, it is. I mean, if you can't afford big-name actors, it must be
low
budget.
You don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm usually out at the scenes pretty regularly. I know these people pretty well, and I don't know any of these people.
Play on, sir.
No,
play on.
No.
You heard it here. I don't know you. You're not big enough.
That's right. That's right.
What I said. Work more. Tony
if
and Elizabeth.
If your name has not come up on an abundance of naught, then obviously you have not made it yet.
You have not made it. In fact, let's just have someone make it right now. Priscilla Shearer. There you go. You've made it. We now know who you are. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan have it all great jobs. That's weird. A beautiful daughter and their dream house.
They have it all. Great jobs, a beautiful daughter, and their dream house.
Yeah,
come
what
on,
he said.
Man. Dad,
I need to be drinking. I'm sober. Leave me alone.
Read the copy.
Read the
not
copy.
Not that hard.
Line.
It's on the cue cards. Just read the
copy. Read the cue cards. But appearances can be deceiving. Tony and Elizabeth Jordan, Jordan's world is actually crumbling under the strain of a failing marriage. While Tony basks in his professional success and flirts with temptation, Elizabeth resigns herself to increasing bitterness. but their lives take an unexpected turn when Elizabeth meets her newest client, Miss Clara, and is challenged to establish a war room and a battle plan of prayer for her family. As Elizabeth tries to fight for her family, Tony's hidden struggles come to light. Tony must decide if he will make amends to his family and prove Miss Clara's wisdom that victories don't come by accident. Again, rated PG, no critic rating at this point.
Sounds like it's a smaller release, a religious-themed film, kind of along the lines of Left Behind or, you know.
Yeah, and obviously kind of a, I don't want to say sappy, but relationship-heavy type movie. For obvious reasons. In the box office this week, let's butcher this before we can move on and butcher other stuff. Straight Outta Compton, still number one at $26.4 million. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, number two at $11.5 million, still doing pretty well. Sinister 2, pulling in $10.5 million. And Hitman Agent 47, with its 9% critic rating, pulling in $8.3 million.
I missed that one.
What's that?
When did Hitman come out?
Probably last week when you weren't here.
Oh, could
and
be.
I think it had a 3% critic rating at that point.
Was it a limited release? Because I haven't seen trailers or heard.
No, trailers have been out.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll take
Sorry, a, not in the loop here.
We'll take a quick look. I was really curious about it, and then I saw that the ratings. I mean, yeah, if the ratings are middle of the road, I'll go with it on Rotten Tomatoes. But when it tanks this hard, I have to, kind
of
heat it.
If you're a fan of the franchise, the games and the books and everything.
And I'm not super. I like the first movie with Timothy Oliphant as Hitman. That was I enjoyed that. The big name in this one is Zachary Quinto, who you know is Spock. Along with a few others, but he's the most recognizable one. So, yeah. All right. Into, I think, the news.
And in news this week, fresh out of the FAA approval process, GoGo Internet is planning on upgrading their onboard internet service, which is going to be a wonderful thing for frequent business travelers like myself. At the moment, their current service is actually a cellular-based service. There's radios that communicate to the ground, and it is limited by geography. Obviously, there have to be cell phone towers to connect to, making it, at least for GoGo, it's mostly lower 48, and limiting the speed. Up until now, the speed has been limited to 9.8 megabits, so just barely better than a DSL connection. But keep in mind that the other end of this DSL connection is connected to the entire plane. Everybody on board is sharing the one connection.
Single
pipe.
So GoGo is the company that's providing the
Correct.
The Wi-Fi, so
yes.
Just to clarify.
Please. Yes, so GoGo is a third-party provider that contracts to the airline. So they provide for Delta, for American, the big names. They don't provide their the airlines don't provide their own service. It's all contracted out through GoGo. So the news from the FAA this week: they just approved a new antenna array that will go on top of the aircraft and connect to satellite. Rather
nice.
Than to ground stations. Upping the coverage area to global.
Yes.
Anywhere you can get a satellite signal. Obviously, there will need to be a satellite constellation in place to service it from above. But you're no longer limited by geography. And upping the speed, going from 9.8 megabits to 70 megabits.
Nice. That widens the pipe just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, still not sure if they're going to unblock certain bandwidth-heavy services. At the moment, things like Netflix and HBO Go and
yep.
Showtime, whatever Showtime's new one is.
Yeah, a lot of your streaming services are all, because it clogs the pipe.
Takes way too much bandwidth. The way they get around that is most of the planes now have a movie server on board. So you connect to the internet, and there's a list of movies that you can watch.
Okay.
And it does the credit card transaction over the over the
local network,
the air to ground link, right? Okay. So it actually calls out to process the credit card, authorizes, and then streams you the movie from the onboard server that's on the plane
through the local network.
Through the local network, yeah. Thus serving or preserving the precious air to ground bandwidth.
Sure,
but. Yeah, not sure right now if they're going to unblock that with 70 megabits. You know, they might be able to. That's better than a decent number of home cable connections.
Sure.
I think at home we're running, I think we run 45.
I think we're a little bit more than that here, but I don't think it's much more than that.
Yeah, you're probably running about 50 or 60.
Something like that, yeah.
But Gogo did also say that there is a software upgrade, that they're still working on some tweaks, that they may be able to coerce this to go as high as 100 megabits.
Nice.
Without any additional hardware changes. So
sweet.
There'll be an initial fairly heavy cost to getting this implemented. I mean, they've got to mount these on the top of the planes.
Yep.
But once it's up there, they'll be able to do the next step over the air.
I wonder how much more they're going to try to charge the passengers for connectivity with the increased cost of implementation.
I don't know. It's already fairly steep.
Yeah. You've really got to make that decision, and if you really need the internet for this next couple hours.
Yep.
The best thing is I'm going to be able to watch them, like, go on and be like, oh, that one has one? No? Yes? No?
Yeah, yeah. I want to be on that plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I change flights, but that one's not going to your destination? I don't care.
But where's that one?
Route me around. I'll take three connections, but I want that plane.
That one's going the complete opposite direction, sir.
That's all right. I'll
take a six-hour flight instead of the three-hour flight of where I need to go, as long as I have internet for that entire six hours.
That's right.
I really want to watch Pacific Rim again.
There have been occasions where I've needed, you know, I've been in the middle of some work that has to get done.
Yep.
So there have been occasions where I've needed to do it. Like I said, they're fairly proud of their connection.
That's awesome.
Half hour session typically runs about $9. Depending on the length of the flight, it can be, you know, $20, $30 for a couple hour flight. I mean, they're proud of it.
Yeah.
But like you said, when you've got to be connected, when it's critical, you know, you're going to pay it.
But that's why I really lean towards a lot of those third party, you know, those portable hard drives that you can wirelessly connect to on your local devices for entertainment purposes.
Yes.
It's not going to get you to the internet, but, you know, if you're on a 5-hour coast to coast flight or have to go through a couple jumpers, you can bring something along to have plenty of entertainment with you without having to spend that money for connectivity.
Absolutely. But check out the link in the show notes because the photos are actually kind of cool. It's a couple of self-tracking, low-profile satellite dishes.
Yep.
Yeah, no, they're sweet-looking.
They've already been working on the streamlining and stuff, and they say it will not add significant amount of drag to the aircraft. So
yeah, it looks like something like that wouldn't. Yeah. I mean,
no fuel.
Wouldn't take much to put a slight skirt around it to help with aerodynamics to not be a problem.
Well, and if you look at the photo work, which I've got it pulled up here in studio, so definitely check out the link, but it's got a clear sheet over it, which will eventually be, you know, painted the same color as the aircraft.
Oh,
but,
so I won't be able to see it, dang it.
Well, you'll be able to see it's got a bump.
Yeah.
It'll have a slight internet.
The plane's got a pimple.
So I'll have to start looking now,
yes.
I know how to look for it later.
That's right.
Look for the internet bump.
There you go. Well, from one piece of aircraft to another, California, for some of us California residents, are looking to hamper the drone flying or quadcopter or unmanned
privately owned
aerial vehicle, however you want to say it. I think the technical term for most of us is a multi-rotor. However, technically, RC planes and other types of devices do fall into this category. California is making it harder and harder to fly in your backyard. The biggest concern and the biggest cause for this is the privacy factor. You know, if you're flying over your backyard and say you have a camera on it, you may not be filming your neighbors, but if a camera's got wide enough view, you can see 3, 4, 5 houses of you know, people's technically private property. What the law is potentially going to impose is that you cannot fly over someone else's property under a 300-foot elevation. or altitude rather.
So you can't go higher than 400, but you can't go lower than 300.
350. Over residential areas. So they're essentially saying... So you've got
to have some really accurate avionics then, because you've got a 50-foot window.
Yeah, a 50-foot legal window to stay above the privacy threshold, but under the FAA threshold.
Well, that's going to make it fun.
It's so I'm of mixed feelings here, now being a multi-rotor owner.
Pilot. Well, no, sorry. Owner.
He hasn't I'm not piloting it yet.
Operator, I don't...
Listen, I've found a bunch of ways to learn how to crash already, and I've gotten really, really good at that.
This is Thomas Edison work here.
That's right.
I've figured out 400 ways to crash
not
one.
Yeah. Not create an operating multi-rotor. So my mixed feelings come in this, and other pilot operators may get mad at me here. What are you really getting out of flying in your backyard on a decent size multirotor? I'm talking 250 millimeter diameter and bigger. The people that are really flying aggressive or you know, in that size, your DJI Phantoms are about that size, etc.
Not your $50 home kid.
Yeah. I mean, that's
for Christmas.
That's kinda. Not the concern. That doesn't impose any danger. Most don't have cameras. If they do, they're not recording. Some might have that ability, but they're not going to be operating. Brad's looking at me really, really
kind
of like a kid in the candy store. you know, but they're not going to have the altitude and control that the bigger ones have to where it's a deliberate movement. But the bigger ones do have that control. But what kind of experience are you really getting if you're living in tight enough quarters to where you're violating that privacy threshold? So my mentality is, If you really want to fly and get the most out of flying, you're going to go somewhere to where you can have that kind of experience and opportunity. You're probably not going to get that in your neighborhood. And so on that front, I can see where the potential bill makes sense. But the flip side of that coin is, well, I bought this. I'm not infringing on anybody's rights if I don't have a camera. What's the harm? Aside from it losing control, crashing to someone's window and hitting somebody. Very minimal risk of danger here in the grand scheme of things. The probability of that happening is pretty low.
It's a brushstroke. It's like, well, how do you prove you didn't have a camera or did have a camera?
Well, when the guy shoots it down with a shotgun and see there's no camera there. More on that here in a little bit. But, yeah, so I mean, it's I'm of two minds. I get maybe why the bill is coming into place. Does it make 100% sense? Not really, but there's maybe some aspects of truth provoking this.
But here again is where we get into what we've talked about before, and that is that the idiots,
yes,
have really, I mean, they're in the process of ruining it.
Yes,
you know,
they're on
now,
the right way to. Banning this whole industry.
Yeah, so up until now, we've had some pretty relaxed, i.e. none, no oversight, no regulation, just some basic guidelines that those of us that are responsible stick to. Because, you know, we want to be able to do this freely and without hindrance. Like you, I understand why they're doing this, but it just kind of ticks me off that it's those few idiots that can't stick to the basic rules, you know. And we covered this, well, I wasn't on last week, so a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, interfering with medical life flights, interfering with firefighting, interfering with, you know, full-size commercial aircraft in commercial airspace.
Yes.
Come on!
There's really one basic rule that applies to everything, and that is...
Don't be stupid,
but really it comes down to put people first. You know, if you're in a big crowded park, that's probably not the best place to fly if you lose control and something happens. If you're in your neighborhood, you know, you may not want to be seeing what may or may not be going on in someone's backyard. But if it falls out of the sky and you're where someone else's property exists or, you know, whatever, it's probably not the best place to fly. You know, if there's any risk of aircraft where people are involved, avoid it. But if people are your top priority, you cannot get yourself into trouble.
Well, challenge accepted.
You can always will yourself into trouble, but
okay,
you get where I'm going with this.
No, I get where you're going with this, but again, it comes back down to, if I don't have a camera on it, why can't I practice in my backyard?
Sure.
It's my property.
Yes.
Yes, I get the privacy aspects of it, and obviously we've had that with, the guy that shot the drone out of the sky. Yes. With his shotgun.
Oh, wow, this was actually a thing? I thought you were joking, Dan.
Oh,
no.
Oh, what happened again?
Oh, was it again?
There's another one. In New Jersey, a guy was flying in a street. Someone else came out with a shotgun in the street and shot it down in New Jersey.
Okay, now see, that one I have a problem with.
This is brand new. This guy is facing prosecution because New Jersey isn't really keen on discharging a firearm in a public area. Street's a public area.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently out on bail, but he could be facing up to 10 years for a two-minute decision.
The previous one, though, was an actual privacy violation.
Yes.
A guy flew a quad, I suppose.
I think it was either a four-rotor or bigger.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty
into
large
his
diameter.
Yard,
his daughter was out
sunbathing. The guy came out with a shotgun and shot it out of the sky.
Yes.
I've seen one where it's a girl is sunbathing on top of a roof. And she starts chasing it down, holding the towel, chasing it down with a broom. But
okay, but if you're so,
but
really,
you know what I mean.
Really, this California law is trying to express that if you as a resident are expecting a reasonable amount of privacy, now reasonable is a very subjective term, but we believe that in our backyards we have a reasonable amount of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But if our neighbor is up on their roof cleaning out storm drains, they can see everything in your backyard. So, you've got to be mindful of that. If she's down inside the confines of a backyard, she's expecting a reasonable amount of privacy.
Yep.
If she's sitting up on her roof sunbathing, you're putting yourself for everyone to see. There's not a lot of... You're not getting necessarily a close-up picture, but you're visible to a larger demographic.
That depends. There are rooftop gardens and rooftop spaces that are still private.
That's true. I guess when I hear roof, I think actual shingled, sloped environment.
And this is doubt that.
That's topped with an apartment complex.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, some places have their pool on their roof.
Sure.
But this
true.
But it was just paved white, so I don't know.
Yeah, but some of the apartments have a roof deck, so
yeah.
Sure.
But it wasn't a roof deck. I mean, it was just solid white with the entrance thing.
Okay, so it wasn't necessarily a design space, and that you get into a grayer area on can you expect reasonable privacy when you've put yourself high up that more people have the potential to see you. So that's kind of where this new bill that they're trying to push through is phrased and minded. So, but yeah, no, in New Jersey, this guy could be facing up to 10 years for that. That's the most recent one that happened earlier this week.
Nope. All right.
So, and again, if he put people first, discharging a shotgun in a public area is not putting people first. So who's the bigger risk there? The drone pilot or a guy running around with a shotgun?
Well, you think this, the person with the shotgun, he shoots it, stops the thing from working and then falls on someone.
That or a spare buckshot, birdshot, whatever comes up, what goes up must come down and hit somebody. There's chaos.
So remember this, if it's a nuisance to you, it's probably a nuisance to other people. Put people first. Now, speaking about guns, police thwarted.
There you go.
Yeah. A very horrific event at the Pokemon World Championships.
Pokemon Championships are a horrific event.
Yes.
Yeah. Where two gentlemen decided to show up to the event with semi-automatic weaponry in their car. And ammo for the weapons. Basically going to start a shooting spree at the World Championships of Pokemon.
I applaud them.
Jeez.
You whore.
No, I'm not. This sarcasm. I don't condone that thought. Brad just flicked my arm.
Well, I'm glad they stopped it.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go on this one?
On one hand, you have a Pokemon tournament. On the other hand, you have people willing to shoot the Pokemon tournament. Which one's the bigger danger to society?
Gaming? Mass shooting.
But gaming causes violence. Didn't you know that?
BS. I can call
So a couple guys with semi-automatic weapons in their car attended or planned to attend, and the police were somehow alerted and prevented.
Through private security conjunction with the event and
okay.
speaking with, yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Rent-a-cops are beneficial.
Tried.
Points. So was there any... I mean, I'm not familiar with the story, so...
Yep.
Was there any indication that they were planning to shoot this place up? Or they just have it in their car, legally owned?
I think it was had it in their car, but they were charged with unlawful possession of weaponry.
Alrighty.
And unlawful possession...
not legally owned.
And unlawful possession of ammo.
So they must have carried around a substantial quantity then.
Yeah.
So they were charged. There's been no meaning of what entails in their punishment. I'm gonna say.
So did they make any? Was it documented they made threats or anything that would have indicated this, or just a security observed that hey, these guys are looking shifty in this car? And
I believe it was. It wasn't. They didn't make any threats. But, you know, never be too safe.
Okay.
You know, it's people are showing up with unlawful possessions of firearms, semi-automatic firearms.
But I mean,
in a public place where a big event is going on.
I get that, but I guess my concern is if it was in the car, how was it found out? I mean,
I think,
unless they were waving the gun at the window or starting to point at people, I mean...
I think it's what happens is they showed up.
Okay.
Then, and someone passed by their car.
And saw.
Saw it and then reported it.
Okay.
So, okay, allegedly, you know,
sure.
they were planning on it.
Sure.
But, again, safety is the probably concern, is the highest concern.
Yep.
So it's potentially thwarted a very big problem.
Very good.
Be interesting to see how what laws they charge them under. I can understand the illegal firearms. I didn't know that there was a quantity of ammo that was illegal.
I don't know if there is or isn't, but if they're charging them with that, then there's something must be...
Something up.
Yeah. That's interesting. Unless...
There is such a thing as controlled ammo. There's, you know, you're not allowed to own armor-piercing rounds or incendiary rounds, so...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that makes me curious.
But another thing I just thought up here is that we always like to... Not us, but people always like to blame the police when they do something bad. But we never hear about them doing something good. And that's... That could be a testament to, you know, the thing with what they do. Is and you do it right, no one really knows you did it at all.
You did your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
we call that victory by... Or,
it's only the bad
victory
stuff.
Victory by success, but... what do I say at work all the time when I mention it at work?
I don't know. What do you say?
It's like it's...
I'm usually not listening.
Yeah,
when you're
usually
talking.
We're...
wah, 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 wah.
Exactly.
I'm not around, so you're going to have to help us here.
Victim of your successes.
Hmm.
When it works, no one pays any attention to it. But when it doesn't work, that's where the fingers get pointed and the red flags get raised. That's,
yeah.
Victim of success.
So I'm going to pull both discussions together here.
Woohoo!
So we've got drones and we've got firearms.
Settle in, kids.
Because this is going to be a good one.
Okay.
Police in North Dakota are now armed, forgive the pun, with a new law.
Is it armed? Because I think they need two.
Huh. What?
Two arms.
Two arms.
No.
To carry the control? Never mind. Anyway, passage of bill number 1328. Now, sit down and buckle your seatbelt for this one, because this is going
to
be a...
We need you to listen very,
this is going to be a little bit of a twisted
closely.
Ride.
If you're already sitting, get up and sit back down.
Yeah.
Reset.
This is how it's going to work.
Reboot the system.
We need you to get comfortable here.
Undo your seatbelt, unless you're driving. Don't undo your seatbelt. Yeah, but... And now, redo your seatbelt. Okay. Here we go. Bill 1328, sponsored by Representative Rick Becker, Republican from Bismarck, was introduced as a bill to limit the police surveillance power and ban all weapons on police drones.
Okay.
That's how this started. He sponsored it, got it on the table. Then a police lobby group got a hold of it and introduced some amendments to it, which now allow the police in North Dakota to arm drones with less than lethal weapons. You can't see the air quotes, but less than lethal in air quotes here, including rubber bullets, tear gas, tasers, and other non-lethal weapons.
Pepper spray, sound cannons.
Yeah.
Among the many options.
Sound cannon. That sounds awesome.
There's been a lot of actually really cool tests on sonic weapons to debilitize potential threats. There's a really cool show on History Channel, just to veer off, called Future Weapons. One of them was this giant sound cannon that you can't operate in its field of effect. Anyway.
So, making, you know, the second piece of this 1-2 punch, North Dakota is one of only 6 test sites where the FAA allows drones to be flown up to 1,200 feet above the ground. Over the entire state.
So that's only 3 times higher than the residential or privately owned drone laws.
Yeah.
Interesting. They can fly that high, but it doesn't interfere with FAA flight pass? How peculiar.
I'm guessing that the exclusion zone around airports still applies.
Probably. And since they have their helicopters and stuff too, I'm sure it's...
Right. The original bill sponsor... commented that he's not in full agreement with this. Well, duh.
Yep.
This is not the bill you introduced. and he wishes that it had continued to ban any weapon. He is of the opinion that drones should not be weaponized at all.
Correct. Period.
So, yeah.
He said even less than lethal weapons can kill. At least 39 people have been killed by police tasers in 2015. So just because their weapons aren't designed to be lethal doesn't mean that they can't cause lethal force. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Last Castle with Robert Redford about the jail. And they all had rubber bullets.
Good movie.
It's a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But all the prison guards had rubber bullets, and yet somehow inmates died by guards. Yep. Strange how that works. Anyway.
Yeah. So.
So don't move to North Dakota.
Pretty much.
That's what I'm learning here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I would assume...
Where they have high-flying weaponized drones.
That's right. Now, we've all seen the paintball drone. Or people that have done paintball drones. Not seen it in person, although that would be sweet. And I remember seeing an article maybe a couple months back about someone who put like a 9mm on a drone and made it functional.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the police saying something like, it's technically not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got...
Although, both the police and the FAA have weighed in on that.
Yeah.
Both of them have decided that he technically didn't break any laws. However, there is an ongoing federal investigation.
That's... Yeah.
Come on, man. Some things just should not be done.
No.
Just because you can doesn't necessarily follow that you should.
I mean, let's face it, though. It didn't take long. And I mean, if you can put a commercial-grade camera on a drone, putting a 9mm Glock isn't any weight compared to a commercialized DSLR or
I know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So
Yep.
I'm almost surprised it took as long as it did, really.
We don't condone this.
No.
By the way.
No.
Just so people make sure.
Yeah. Unmanned aerial vehicles should be used for peaceful purposes in a friendly manner that does not invade your neighbor's privacy.
That's right.
Should not be used for perversion or violence.
Exactly.
But if you want the most intense experience possible, get yourself an FPV gear. You want to talk about virtual reality? No, this is the way to go. Because although it's virtual, it's actually not virtual. It's right. Kind of this... It's not necessarily augmented either. Although I'd love for someone to do a FPV drone on something like a HoloLens where you could still kind of see your environment. You could almost have keep line of sight with it while also having FPV. But I wonder how that would gauge the motor and response functionality.
I'm guessing that the first several hundred people that tried it would puke.
That'd be awesome.
You heard it here first, people.
I'm
Garrett likes puking.
I do like no. I'd like to see 100 people puke. That'd be funny.
Symphony of puke.
There you go.
As long as it's not you.
So, keeping on the drone theme this week.
Showtime.
So we've talked many. We've talked many much about U.S. FAA.
Many much.
That's right.
Show title.
About FAA potential limitations, regulations.
You English real good.
I learned to spoke very much better.
Sorry, guys. I think I need to reboot him.
Europe is following suit in the potential for drone regulations. Berlin and Frankfurt in Germany. As of today, have implemented no drone zones, and trying to implement software to block flights in insensitive areas. So instead of them making a law for it, they're just going to put up frequency jammers, essentially, and fly in there and your drone loses signal.
And either has to,
it either would have to return to home based on the functionality of them or drop out of the sky. Sounds interesting.
You have to pay to get it back, and it's like, here's the piece, here's another piece.
The use of civil drones, whether for commercial purposes such as crop surveillance or monitoring of natural disasters, photography or whatnot, or just for fun, is obviously on the rise, as we've seen here. But, yeah, Europe is looking to better manage it. I guess is the quick and dirty way to say that.
You know, again, stop being stupid.
I'm pretty impressed with their philosophy and management, though.
Yeah,
that's impossible.
Well,
don't be stupid. It's called mass genocide is what we need.
Well,
but
Einstein says two things are infinite in this reality: the universe and human stupidity.
You know, and I think we're past the point of don't be stupid anymore. I think we've already crossed...
people being malicious?
Well, no. I think we've already crossed the threshold.
Yeah.
We had our grace period. We had the opportunity to do this responsibly. And there are idiots out there. And they've ruined it for everybody because we're already in the process of, you know, the regulation and tighter controls. And I think we have already... We've already ruined it.
Yeah. Now, from the... very small multi-rotor community that I'm not going to say that I'm a part of, but that I monitor from time to time. It is the growing consensus that the problem, problem individuals, so to speak, are typically the people that will go to, I'll take Best Buy for an example, because they offer them too. They go to a store like Best Buy or even Fry's or whatever, and they buy a ready-to-fly unit. No assembly required, plug the battery in, turn it on, and go fly, and are totally unaware of rules and regulations, don't know any different, go fly and put themselves into trouble. Whereas most of the people that are assembling them themselves, like myself, like many, many others, who are looking to these communities for input and information and guidance, are passively seeing that there's these laws and regulations and are taking the steps to better educate themselves because they are putting that investment into it and they are respecting the hobby and the world that that's in and want to preserve their own experience and also those around them. So I'm not saying that all people that buy ready-to-fly units are a problem. I'm not saying that everyone who builds their own copter is fine and upstanding. But on an average, by percentage, it seems to be the ready-to-fly people are more of an issue from an ignorant standpoint than kit builders.
Is there any way to help that, though, is the thing? You know, can you put in, paper saying, hey, go look at this before you do this, but people just,
But from a commercial standpoint, you want to sell all the products you can. So from a company like Best Buy or the drone maker, they want as many of those things to fly off the shelves as possible because they are $1,000 a piece.
And it's profit. Fly off the shelves?
Yes.
When he did that.
I saw what you did there? Yeah, I saw what you did there.
You want to know something funny? That was subconscious. but they want to sell the products.
But it comes down to consumers not doing their research.
Yes.
I'll throw another one at you. This one's another three-letter government organization. This time it's the FCC.
Yes.
Walk into Best Buy. You've seen the family radio, two-way radios.
Yes.
Good for 28 miles or good for, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Operates under the family, I don't remember the acronym anymore, family something radio service.
Right? Okay.
Walkie-talkies. You're only allowed to use, I think it's 7 of the channels that they...
Well, I know that one is an emergency-only channel. That's about all I know.
Okay. So, you're only allowed to use certain the lower of the channels. I think it's 1 through 7. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
But they will do 20-something channels.
Yes.
All the upper channels, you're supposed to have a license for.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it's in a manual somewhere, but yes, who reads the manuals? You pull it out of the box, you put batteries in it, you turn it on, you go to the other room, and can you hear me now?
Yeah. You pick the channel that has the least interference, and you go.
Yeah.
Guess who has a license for it?
Yeah.
You think that's horrifying? Remember when we used to do walkie-talkies for doing paintball?
Yes.
Imagine someone catching up on that, be like, oh yeah, they're going around here.
Yeah?
Freak some people out. And we were doing this on, paintball on a, was it Marine Base?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Camp Pendleton.
Get intercepted.
Yeah. You're going to, no, shoot him. No, don't shoot that one. Shoot that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll go over well.
Anywho.
Nice.
Continuing on.
Well, not much continuing on, unless you're going to be short and sweet.
Okay then. Well, I guess that's keep on gaming.
So, Wade doesn't want to be short and sweet. He wants to be long and sour.
Ladies.
we do, with this abrupt end, we do thank you for listening, of course, and do encourage you to visit us at Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not. Once again, hit us up on Twitter at abundancenot. Wade is also on Twitter now.
AON Seawall 599, I think. Yeah.
Is it 599?
AON Seawall 599.
So check that out as well. And once again, if we do get up to, or when we do get up to 500, we'll have a special little something. So keep posted, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
That's a wrap.
Keep on gaming.